Well, hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
You're pouring a big, tall one there, Dana?
Oh, yeah. I'm on my second one.
I figured so. And if people didn't know, there's a third cup in the room, everyone. We want to welcome our guest, CISFA past president, Michael Deere, financial aid director at MiraCosta. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, again.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. Always love to be here.
What's in your cup this morning?
French roast black.
Nice. Mm. Nice.
Okay.
That's pretty much my daily routine.
The French roast. That sounds good. I'm either the super fancy kind that I don't remember exactly what I'm ordering when I go to Starbucks or other places, or it's literally just, oh, someone's got hot coffee going. Okay, give me a cup. I just forget to mix things in. But for me this morning, it's a little sparkling water, the zero calorie kind with blackberry. Well, it says Blackberry Bubbly, so unfortunately, everyone knows a brand that I bought. But we'll keep it light and airy today. But we have Michael back on because, as terms go for people on the exec board, Mike will be spinning off as past president at the end of June. I will become the past president. Anna Faye Robinson, who we had on last week, I believe we had her on episode number 88. This is episode number 90, came to talk. She'll be our incoming president. And then soon enough, we're going to have to get David Shook from Copper Mountain out here on the show all on his own again, Dana, as he is the incoming president-elect for the coming cycle. So everybody expect to see that or hear that soon. So... we got just a kind of a random list here, Mike, of topics. I thought we'd start with our conference that we just had a mere couple of months ago. And first of all, if anything, I want to put out the gigantic of all things, a gigantic thank you to you, because I don't think this conference could have gone off the ground and could have been as well organized or had as many good sessions, thanks to the ones that you weren't able to do a year ago, as it could have been without you. So thank you, first of all. What are some of your thoughts maybe on our past conference?
Well, first of all, no thanks needed, Dennis. I appreciate it, but I'm just happy to be part of the team. And it really was a team effort under your leadership that helped us pull that off. I thought it went very well. You know, we kind of had a few, online virtual conferences since then, you know, or by the time we got to ours, we'd kind of seen some of the federal and state and other people giving it a shot. So we had some other models to look at. I'll say one of the highlights for me was the president's reception.
Oh yes.
You know, we didn't have a lot of folks show up, which is understandable and not everybody knowing the platform, but it really felt kind of like we were in the room together. And, you know, for those of you that weren't there or didn't see it, Dennis, remind me the name of the platform.
Oh, the one that we used, I think it was Remo was the one that we used for the president's reception.
Yeah. So for the listeners, what you saw on the screen was what looked like sort of like a layout, a room layout, room plan, so
tables,
to speak. Like a,
with little seats.
Yeah, and then there were tables, and then basically you like double-clicked your mouse, and then you were at a table, and then your video showed the other people that were at that table. But you could also still see the room. So like I'd be talking to Dennis, and then – if Dana came in the room and she was at another table, then I'd be like, oh, hey, it's been nice chatting with you, Dennis. Let me go over here and say hi to Dana. Then I'd click over to the other table and say hi to Dana. And it was really kind of like we were actually
there. You could scroll around. Really, it was really.
Yeah, that was fun. I miss the social aspect the most. Many of you who know me know I'm kind of a bit of a social butterfly. So I do like to mix and mingle and chat. And that was fun. But the rest of the conference was great. Good sessions. You know, a good platform,
a great keynote. And thanks to you, really, because you brought on Nina G, comedian slash academic counselor of sorts in the community colleges. And she just had a great keynote and breakout session later with some of her pals in the comedy world.
You know, and the true thanks on that go to Tamara Shinar, our state issues VP and the past president before me, because she had lined Nina up for something, I think, during her conference. And so in the same way that some of my stuff carried over to you, that carried over to me. And I agree.
Okay.
I agree. I thought Nina G was amazing. Funny, but also sort of poignant and relative, and that was awesome. We got lucky on that. Thanks, Tamara.
You know, it's funny how we have this leapfrog thing, because, you know, obviously we're also we are saving the band that was supposed to be at your conference that we decided hold off from my conference, and Anna Faye, our incoming president for the coming cycle, will get the band finally.
She'll inherit the band. I know, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you guys got to tell me what band is this?
Please, Mike.
This, Dana, is a band called The Wayward Sons.
Okay.
You can look them up on social media, or even you could go on YouTube. They're a arena rock cover band. So if you think of 70s and 80s, like Big Hair, Queen, and Styx, and you know, that kind of stuff. So it's a fun show. There's a fair amount of comedy, but there's also, you know, some good music. So they signed on for the Monterey conference that we had to cancel last year in March of 2020. Then they agreed to postpone to this year in 2021. At the time, none of us had any idea that we would. This one wouldn't go either. So when we talked to them this year, they said, no, we're cool. We'll postpone to next year. So they'll join us in San Diego.
Oh man, that's going to be awesome.
It is. From the picture and from what Mike has given us his information, again, over a year and a half ago on this, planning for the band, I think they're going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to be, again, crossing our fingers as things are going well. We really do hope to have them at the 2022 conference down in San Diego playing for the group. So let's hope for all things go well. You know, the only thing would be in the rock and roll world is, you know, internal strife within the band. If they get too big, you know, we just have to hope that they stay local and don't get too big. Cause it's when you get too big, things come out.
You know, that's funny you say that, Dennis. So if you do go look them up, Dana, on YouTube, search for their intro video, because, and they don't play it as much anymore because I think they've been around and people know them and all that stuff. But the first couple times I went to see them before they come out on stage, they play their intro video, which is pretty darn funny. And it kind of talks a little bit about exactly what Dennis is saying, is how like they rose to fame in the 70s. But there was strife within the band and they all broke up and now they just got back together. It's really funny. It's well done.
They've already prepared their own breaking of the band episode. Yeah,
exactly.
That is funny. So yeah, you know, thinking about conferences, I'm going to agree 2021. I'm happy that we got one off the ground. The virtual thing, you're right. We had some good lead-in. CASFA had to do theirs last fall on a different platform, but do it virtually. The other thing is, I don't know if we could ever thank Mike enough. our foundation for the California Community Colleges staff, Cameron, Carolyn, I think Julie in the background, Yush, who is always over there somewhere overseeing things, helping us through the technical aspects and the logistics of this. I think that's why when it came to being a conference committee that in most years, you know, might have 5, 6 or more people from the exec board and from CSFA to run things. Obviously, not having to deal with food and beverage helps, but coming the logistics and everything else, I don't know if we could ever thank them enough.
You know, I totally agree with you, Dennis. I mean, they're actually like they all have backgrounds in event planning, mm-hmm. basically. And, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, the kudos to the former CSFA conference committees who were basically financial aid office volunteers that did not have any event planning, like, no background, maybe as a hobby or what.
Yeah.
I mean, I am blown away at how good they did in the past years, figuring all of that stuff out, because that is really a full-time job in and of itself. And so, yeah, I agree with you, Dennis. We are lucky to have the foundation team working closely with the chancellor's office. And I think that we're lucky that we partner with the chancellor's office for their all directors.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Meaning that's kind of part of it. But yeah, Yush and Carolyn and Cam and their whole team, amazing. Amazing. Yeah,
I mean, it was pretty flawless running of most of the videos for the pre-recorded sessions. The live session seemed to go off well without a hitch. What little bit of technical things we had, like we figured out really early on that if you're trying to put, Dana, like a web address into your chat session during a breakout session, it would kick back and say you can't send your message or whatever. And so they had to fix something. And again, that was almost like fix on the fly, because I was having a problem doing it, because I was monitoring one of the round tables we recorded with a lot of people that we've interviewed here on the show. And I was like, oh, don't forget to check out this for, I think, probably either this show or something. And it just kept bouncing back. And then I got a hold of Cameron or Carolyn, who went back with our vendor for the event and fixed it pretty much like on the go. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work. It's amazing. And we didn't even have food and beverage this time. But, you know, come San Diego, all those type of things and room logistics will kick in. And I know we're doing our best to try to keep strong ties with the foundation office staff. And if we need to send some of them down to San Diego, we certainly will.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen a meme recently, but it makes me think of that the picture of the duck, like they're calm and smooth on the surface, and then their feet are just swimming just ferociously underneath, right? Like that was the conference. Hopefully it appeared calm, smooth, and, you know, but behind the scenes, it was just a flurry of activity.
That it was.
Text messages and, hey, can you do this? Hey, check in with so-and-so. You know, it was, yeah, you're right, Dennis. Those are good points. They were great.
They did a fantastic job, especially because we had parts that were live because some presenters wanted to be live, but things like the business meeting on the last day that rolled right into our federal presenter, and they had to be ready early because we always overbook time on the business meeting, and those business meetings, we did our best to stretch out, but you run out of materials so to build more from. So she was ready to go, and our conference just ran about as smoothly, I think, as you can get. So I want to thank you, of course, because you lent me all the sessions that were planned for the year before. So that was a good building block for most of our breakout. We had Nina G as our keynote. We had Nina G, Mean Dave, and Mike Beers, I think, were the two comedians that joined them. And so that was definitely offbeat, you know, for people in the higher ed financial aid world, you know, which it was great. I think it lent some real authenticity to people outside of our little niche of a community of work. So,
agreed. Yeah, I agree. That was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice to mix it up a bit.
Exactly. And to mix it up a little bit, let's throw a little music in and move on to some other topics in our next segment here, everybody. Thank you.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
I figured it might be a good time for a little refill for those who need a refill on their beverages, whether they be adolescent or adult beverages or just coffee. you know, back as a kid, I can say at least I would have only thought of, if someone said adult beverage, I would have just said, you mean coffee, right? Because that's what all the adults in the room would drink. And I had
wine coolers.
Wine coolers was much later in life.
Yes.
My mother, basically.
My mom.
My mother does it without buying wine coolers. Her wine tastes are basically your barefoot bubbly yellowtail from Australia mixed with 7-Up.
Oh, boy.
With ice cubes. So, yes, mother is creating. Mother didn't know she was creating that, but that's her taste in wine. So, yeah, it's an interesting time at the holidays because me and my other brothers, if we meet all up, we drink wine, regular wine, that you would not drop ice into, let alone 7-Up. And so when somebody one Christmas dinner or whatever said, my brother had a bottle and he goes, wine? And he looked at it and he goes, not quite. A little judgment at what my mother was drinking. But
Can you imagine just having a nice cab and then just pouring some 7-Up and ice into it?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, that's exactly, that's the exact type of thing. Yes, exactly. But, you know, what are you going to do? She's 80 years old. If that's what she wants,
that's what she
wants.
What
are you going
to
do?
Hey, she's earned it. That's right. Mm-hmm. She's earned the right to do what she wants.
That's
absolutely
right. She doesn't like good to drive, her. So she's not jumping in the car with easily an ounce or two of Chardonnay and 7-Up in her.
Good for her.
That's
good
right.
For her. That's awesome.
So, Mike, let me ask you, how are things going down at MiraCosta as far as everything in general and, you know, looking towards the future as far as we talk re-engagement and all that? How are things going?
Yeah, things are going, I would say things are going good. I think things in financial aid are not necessarily representative of what's going on with the whole college either, you know? So that's a bit of a, you know, we're trying to wade through that and make the best of it, right? But we just, what I'm thinking about specifically is we just recently got an email from our vice president, who is amazing. We just love our vice president to death. Dr. Alketa Wojcik, she's just so student-centered and student-first and just, you know, logical, big-picture thinker, just really cares a lot about staff. She's amazing. And she recently sent an email to the division. It was a New York Times op-ed piece, and it talked about being burned out, COVID burnout, kind of this far in, like just struggling to be productive and just, you know, not. And so we talked about that at a recent staff meeting, and the financial aid staff sort of overwhelmingly just did not relate. They couldn't relate to the article. They're like, I don't feel burned out. I don't feel sort of unproductive. And I think it was a just sort of a commentary on how busy we are, you know, the finance and how much of our job, obviously a lot of what we do changed.
True.
But a lot of our job didn't change, you know, all our systems, all our work was web-based. I think I probably talked about this the last time I was on the podcast, but you know, they were all sitting in cubicles, you know, 3 feet from each other, but all their work was web-based.
Absolutely.
And so now they don't sit in cubicles next to each other. They sit, you know, at their homes. The nature of their work is unchanged for the most part. Now that's a little different for the front facing staff who used to sit at a window and talk to students face to face, but now they sit in this Zoom window right here, Cranium Cafe chat, you know, they're still serving students face to face. So the staff, I think, have adjusted and are rolling with it and are feeling good and productive and are enjoying it. So now it's going to be an interesting shift to see how we move back.
Right.
Whole re-engagement word is what we hear on campus. And it's interesting how it's formulated itself in the, we're going to look at fall. And then it's like, now we're doing it by bargaining unit as far as who will come back when. And then it's percentages. But I think so much of that has been, it's kind of like a salad. It just keeps getting tossed in the air, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about June 15th, governor here in California plans to lift pretty much everything, and we all kind of go back to normal. The CDC just, a day or two ago talked about if you're fully vaccinated, you kind of don't need to wear a mask in almost any session, any aspect as far as indoor, outdoor. And so it's going to be an interesting time because one of our VPs of student services in our district, who sits on a financial aid committee with all the financial aid directors of the 9 colleges and our district office, he was pretty blunt about how, people still have this purple zone mentality, right? Purple was the color where stay home, don't go anywhere, no indoor dining, no outdoor dining, 6 feet minimum, all that stuff. And also, every surface is getting cleaned as soon as someone touches it. Pens are being recycled and cleaned and all that stuff. And the concern that employees can't come back and expect that to be the way to operate. And so I think that's going to be a lot of hesitancy, I think, for some of our staff and faculty and certainly students of coming back and seeing that, no, someone is not coming by and cleaning your cubicle every day. Someone is not coming by and wiping down every piece of vertical plexiglass that's been installed. And to understand that when we say coming back to normal, that's what it means. Now, it still might be, I think, with a lot of our campuses. And, Mike, you can tell us about down there what we've heard from across the state, how many staff are coming back and when. Do you have staff coming back into your office soon?
Yeah, so that is an excellent point, Dennis. And I think sort of related to that article that I was talking about and burnout and coming back, I can understand how a lot of the departments or staff who the main focus of their job is face-to-face with students or outreaching in the community or some of the other positions, how what the amount of work has diminished. There is sort of a sense of let's get back. I'm burnt out. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of this. Let's get back to it. Let's get going. And so I can understand that. To your question specifically, as far as returning, so MiraCosta College, the district, we have we decided in January or February, early in the semester, that we would remain remote 100% through summer at least.
Okay, I think
so. Summer is still going to be all online and all staff remote. We also decided early on, not too early on, probably maybe now in late March, early April, so that we could build out the schedule, which came out on May 1st, I think.
Okay.
Those are approximate dates. Don't quote me.
Don't worry. I got you.
That in the fall, only 9% of our course offerings in the fall are going to be on ground. Uh-huh. Everything else is going to be either hybrid or fully remote. So how that's going to look as far as student support services and what the staffing is going to look like, I'm getting that question from my staff a lot. I know that the VPs and the deans are getting that question a lot, and it's not quite worked out yet. The executive team, the president and vice presidents, they're trying to figure out exactly how that's going to look. Working with the board to try to figure out a policy about vaccination. Required or not required, how that's going to work. So all of that stuff is kind of happening right now, and we're going to see what happens. But it's tough because you know how fast in financial aid world, the summer goes by like that, right?
Absolutely.
And so people are kind of wanting to plan and strategize, and, mm-hmm. and it's tough, you know, and I don't say that in a judgmental way of the leadership. I know leadership is juggling a lot of difficult decisions, and I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, so it continues to be an adventure over a year in, and it's still an adventure that we don't really have a full grasp on. Huh?
Yeah. I think we entered into this quickly because obviously the severity of what we thought we had at hand with the virus. So many of us left campus just a little over a year ago, March, whatever, 15th, 16th. We had a couple lead up meetings at that. And at that point, it certainly sounded, Dana, you could tell me too, we might be out for a couple weeks or so, I think was the plan. Mm-hmm. It kind of like this was going to be a tornado and it would blow through, but it ended up being more and more and more, right?
Yes.
But I mean, that was my feeling too, that, oh, this might just be a couple weeks, because at that time, I guess had the work computer and my MacBook, and I guess set it up next to my easy lounger chair on a tiny little table. And that's what I worked from probably those first 2 weeks. But as this started to drag on, that's when I built out the table. You know, the table came in. Go to the office, borrow some big monitors. Dana, of course, can talk to this because everyone, we've talked about this on the show before. Dana has built her office supreme.
I redid my whole situation.
She has an office supreme to take from a musician's album title there with a gigantic monitor.
Oh, yes.
And a Grogu on the side and multiple computers.
If anything, I think not just my adaptability skills, but everybody's adaptability skills just went up, like just leveled up. Like,
had no choice.
Right?
True.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I did. And it's funny you mentioned that. I went through the same thing when we first started, and I thought it was only going to be a couple of weeks. I was just sitting at my workbench in the garage with my laptop. Uh-huh. And now, you know, that I now I'm upstairs with a more permanent place with a comfortable chair, mm-hmm. and you know, it's, yeah, we MiraCosta, again, kudos to the college district. They deployed all staff that had their computer sort of bundled up and sent home.
Really?
And that's another aspect of going back. So when we do decide to go back, how are we going to go back? Everybody's computer's at home. We got to figure out logistics of, you know, sort of getting it back, especially if part of the logistics, it appears, where we're not going to have 100% of people on campus 100% of the time, certainly not right out of the gate.
Yes.
And so do we buy new computers so they can have one at home and at the office? Do we buy a laptop?
That is a conundrum. You know, our conundrum has been, you know, now the way we VPN into our things, we VPN into our desktop. So nobody took a desktop home, but we have laptops de jure all over the place from the office. I had enough generally for most staff, give or take. We had some new ones and the same thing. So that's not going to be the problem. But again, we probably have stolen out, you know, 10 or more, maybe a dozen of the monitors so that people could hook in and have dual, because most of the staff were used to dual monitors, hook them into their laptops. And so when I go back to the office about once a month to look around, there's a lot of desk missing monitors. And I'm like, same question, Mike, you know, if a staff member like Dana goes in 2 days of the week, how do I make sure she's got a monitor at both of her spots? So yeah, this equipment thing is going to be an interesting ride to figure out how we do the transition and make that still work for everybody.
No, it's similar. We have, I just go in the office once in a while and it's just a bunch of empty desks because you know, same, all the staff were so used to dual monitors, and really in financial aid, you have to have two.
Absolutely.
And it's gotten to be, I think, where in most areas of the campus you need two, but their desktops are at home. We still VPN in because it's, you know, the network drives and all of that stuff. You don't want to save on your C drive and blah, 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 right? But yeah, all the desktops and dual monitors, keyboards, mice, everything, they all went home. There's nothing left in the office.
Yeah, your place even looks more ransacked than mine.
Well, and then you were talking about, oh, sorry, Dana, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and then all of our stuff is packed away.
Yes.
In our cubicles, because they're, you know, going to be spraying this.
Doing some deep cleaning, yeah. They say.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's exactly part of what I was going to say. Like Dennis mentioned, when we go back cleaning all the stuff, well, let's say I leave everybody's desktops at home and I buy one or two to be sort of office computers when for people who rotate through. Well, how are people going to feel about sharing one computer post COVID and the cleaning protocols and who was here? So it's like, there's a lot to think about and consider, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure this is being talked about in our district world. I know early on somewhere, you know, when it was the all theoretical time, one of our vice chancellors from our district office was, obviously this the whole thing lends itself to getting to the point maybe where we just have docking stations at the office, and you always have your laptop with you, and that's your computer. So that when you have to skedaddle for something like this, you at least take that home. Now, the monitor thing, you know, Dana's got her, you know, 90-inch TV there on the wall. She's okay. But, you know, how you solve the rest of it, you know, again, because of our type of work, yeah, working from a laptop alone is the dregs, you know. It's a little hard to get through. You need another monitor, but... Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's another evolving end of all of this, everyone. So, Mike, I think we're going to play a little music and move ourselves into our last bit of the show here. So hold on, everyone. And just like that, we are back for the last sip, everyone. So, Mike, we've kept you long here, but you know what part of the show we're in. We are into the last part here where we ask if you have an I Dare You To selection for the group.
Yeah, sure. Mine today is going to be I Dare You To Take Some Vacation Time.
Yes.
You know, even though I said that we're overall feeling good and everybody's productive and stuff, I will say burnout is real. Like, oh, it's easy to overextend yourself, get burnout. And the reason why our employers give us vacation time, the reason we earn vacation time, is to use it. Yes. Don't bank it. Don't be bumping up against that maximum accrual. Right? Don't bank it. Don't accrue it. Use your vacation time. You got to reset, man. You got to get some R&R. It'll help you serve the students better, help you be better at your job.
Yes.
So I dare you to take a vacation.
And do it right. Do it like Mike, not like me. When Mike is on vacation, it literally is like phones off in the woods. Mm. You know, he could be in Kabul. He could be in Tibet. Who knows? Because Mike does it right. Me? I have to do that like hour of day of work, and people can get a hold of me and Dana can find me, you know, all that stuff. And I get like, you know, 70% of a vacation during the week, even if I don't leave town. I do other things, but I'm going to agree with you there completely, Mike, on the take vacation time. I dare you. Come on. Now.
And I can relate to what you're saying, Dennis. I mean, I unless I'm totally out of service range, you know, my supervisors who work for me, they always have my cell number. They know they can always text me or call me if they need me for any reason. And every once in a while they do, but it's rare. But for the most part, I do try to disconnect and check out, and it helps to go to areas where you don't have service.
Yes. Find a state, national park, and get out there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Dana, how about you? You got an I Dare You To for all of us, for all of our listeners?
Yeah. So while you guys are, while we are on vacation,
yes,
you got to get your Netflix on. So I dare you guys to check out Yasuke. You know, if you're into like anime.
You want to spell that for me?
Yasuke, spelled Yasuke.
Okay.
So definitely check it out. It's about a black samurai under Nobunaga's rule.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yes. Come on now. And who produces the music for it? Flying Lotus, in collaboration with Thundercat.
So there you go. Dana's got all her favorite musicians wrapped up in the soundtrack. That's awesome. Yes. That's cool. Oh, yeah. Now I might keep my, I may keep my Netflix till the end of the month.
Just to watch.
Because again, at $13.99 a month, I am getting billed $13.99 an hour to watch. Because that's about as much time as I take for my Netflix. So I need to bump up the hours and lower that cost down.
But oh, okay. Man. And then if you want to watch the, if you want to listen, just listen to the soundtrack. Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's,
okay.
It's really dope the way that it's filmed, the soundtrack.
Uh-huh. I'll look for that. I'll try to put a link in the show notes as I always do. Mm-hmm. Mine is about buying stuff, and this is just because I think of the quality, and I was listening to some stuff yesterday when I was doing some work. So I pay for the Tidal streaming music service because it's high resolution. But one of the things that keeps me sane, and it's not what I'm wearing now, but I suggest, and I dare you to, everyone, buy expensive headphones. Now, I don't mean the $4,000 types, and there are $4,000 headphones out there.
Yes, they are.
And they are fantastic. Ooh. But buy, like, spend at least $300, and they should have wires that come out of them. Nothing against Bluetooth, everybody, but for convenience, but Bluetooth can't do all the high resolution music out there. So get the kind that have the little wires that come out of them. If you want to know what I use Hi-Fi Man, and mine are a little under $300 because they were on sale, but they are fantastic headphones. Spend a little, don't worry about brand names like Beats and stuff like that. Look for stuff, Hi-Fi Man, Sennheiser. There's a couple
Bowers
others.
And Wilkes.
Bowers and Wilkins make some fantastic headphones, names like that, at least $300. If you spend more than $1,000, please write into the show. I want to know what you're listening to because I do know some friends that have not in financial aid. They are way too they earn real money out there in the real world. And I have a friend who's got $3,000 headphones. They are the epitome of that brand's I think they're Odyssey is the name, and it's got with a Z in there. So I suggest you do that so that you can listen to fantastic music. And don't listen to MP3s, everybody. Either get a turntable and plug in or listen to some high-resolution stuff, and you'll hear the difference on that. But anyways, everybody, hey, you know what time it is? It is that time where we have ran out of time for today, but there's always another episode coming down the road. So I want to thank our guest, Michael Deere, CISFA past president and financial aid director, MiraCosta, and my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA. And of course, a big thank you to our audience for tuning in.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
Find this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 90, recorded the morning of Friday, May 14th, 2021.
Everyone, have a great day and have a great weekend.
Thank you all.
Everybody.